Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
PGA Nation, we are back. Big night ahead of us. Super excited. You got the full crew tonight. Sia Nejad is back and joining us on the DraftCast. Sia, it's been a while. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, it's probably been 5 to 6 weeks. I'm doing well. I just tweeted out the show. It's my fifth show of the day. So when people don't see me on this show, I think they're like, yeah, he's just not feeling it today. No, it's like literally because I've got so much stuff going on. So I was like, listen, I've already done a lot today. I want to join these guys. It's not fair to not come onto this show when I'm doing so many other shows. So I love being here. I love this show. For those of you that watch that aren't like used to this show concept literally, it's not mirrored by anybody. It's sort of our concept. Joel, Spencer, you all really came up with the idea. Win Daily team. I always love this show. So happy to be on it.
Well, we appreciate you and I'm looking forward to picking your brain tonight and getting some knowledge on this upcoming tournament, which it should be a good one in the Houston Open down in Texas. Spence, how you doing tonight? I see the UCLA hat, the Penny Hardaway shirt. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, just any time that I get to come on a podcast and rep Penny Hardaway, I did it during one of the Florida events. This just so happened to match the UCLA hat that I'm wearing tonight. So I think I told you this, Joel. I have a closet of so many Penny Hardaway items that it is, quite frankly, outlandish.
Well, I have heard that some people do actually call you Little Penny, so I get it. David, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Welcome back, Sia. Great to have you as part of the crew again. It's nice to see the screen four wide. The audience really needs your help. They've been struggling. They've been stealing my plays. I've been leading them down pathways with a bit of diversion, and it's been working a treat. So they need all the help that they can get. So it's great to have you back on the show.
And by the way, two absolute no surprises last week. Obviously, Peter Malnati won the tournament. Absolutely. Guess that. Yeah. And I won the draft cast. Obvious. So no one is surprised where that direction went. For the draft order, I will be picking first. No idea who I'm going to take yet. Could be a surprise, but I might have an idea. Pretty excited for that to come to fruition. However, I think what the real story is for this week is the field, right? And, you know, this new, which is becoming relatively regular, is this new pricing structure, which is now kind of seeming necessary, or it's like, how do you price Scottie Scheffler in a field that doesn't have all those live guys in it? He's like guaranteed for a top result. I think if he was priced under, which is crazy to say, 13K, he'd be like, he's already going to be chalky at 13K. So it's going to be interesting to see how we decide to build lineups. Again, there's that 5K range. So, you know, it does give you some flexibility to play him and dip down to get some cheaper guys. This is a new way to play. It's unique. And you should see some different strategies through the draft tonight on how people will build based off of that. Before we dive into things and we do the draft, Spence gives the best course breakdown in DS3. So you want to understand what types of golfers you're looking for when you pick for DFS or for betting this week. So Spence, hit me with it. What are you looking for down in Houston?
Well, Joel, I can only assume that I will have the last pick for the seventh consecutive week. That's been something that seems to be happening every week with this. So I've already penciled myself in there. I've done a deep dive into this course. And I think when you look at this, and we've gotten this over the past couple of weeks, like the Players Championship is a really good example of a course that shifted on the time slot of when you usually get that, goes from May to March. This tournament's gone from November to March. I do think it makes some subtle differences when looking at this property. You're going to get this overseeded dormant Bermuda that's going to help make the landing zones a little softer. I do think that there's some nature that the wind is going to be a little bit more. I don't think it's going to necessarily be extensive winds, but when we're looking at a difference, you know, of in November where there was frankly not very much, and now all of a sudden here, going to get 12 plus miles per hour most of these days. I don't know. I think that anytime that you get these unique traits, and you kind of have to take a deeper dive into it. So Memorial Park's one of the courses that's the top municipal golf courses in the world. Tom Doak took this in 2019. 60,000 patrons visit the grounds each year. He was accompanied on the project by former world number one Brooks Koepka. That rebuild aimed to create a challenging tournament venue that could provide dramatic lead changes down the stretch. I think he did that when you look at what has transpired over the past few years. You have six holes yielding somewhere between either a 21% or higher bogey or worse rate. You have a 26% birdie or better percentage that's also going to come into play on the back nine. That's going to cause the massive deviations down the stretch. But really, any time that you look at one of the Doak properties, it comes down to this distinctive green complex that comes into play. So that's going to remain front and center. There's a 5% increase in expected dispersion of scores that come from strokes gained around the green. I just don't know if it's going to be quite that difficult this go around with the dormant Bermuda and the overseeding that we're getting. We've seen winners in the past kind of be in that 10 under par range. I do think that this winning score is going to creep maybe a little bit closer to when Finau won it at 16 under. I don't know. We'll see. I just think, like, obviously that's a really, I don't want to say convoluted answer here, but there are a lot of unknown qualities about what happens when you shift a course from one month to the next. And I guess for me, when I built the model, I think you have to be very cautious with that approach, because all of a sudden when you overgrade something that, yes, for a 3-year run looked like that was going to be the end all be all of what you needed, I think that there's a change that takes place at some point. So it's a cautious approach. I do think around the green's going to be heightened. I just don't know if it's as much as tournaments past.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, are you taking the stance of just deprioritizing course history or past performance here?
I weighed it less in my model than I normally would for that reason. And I also tried to build more of a collection of stats that I thought would be suited for how the tournament was going to play, which is a dangerous game to play because all of a sudden you're kind of playing the guessing game of what those changes are and exactly how much that overseeding affects this. And does this become a narrative to where, you know, golfers, I'll just throw out a random name, Cameron Champ, all of a sudden, like, he doesn't have the around the green acumen that you want, but his distance here can really become a weapon if around the green isn't necessarily what we saw a couple years ago when he lost 6.5 strokes around the green at this course. So I think it's a dangerous game to look at past course history and kind of bank it off of that.
There you have it. That's great knowledge. Definitely something you want to empower yourself with this week before making your picks. That is how you find your edge. But we do have a draft to dive into tonight. As we pull the draft board up, I want to give a quick refresher in case you're new how the draft works. Now, if anyone is watching on Twitter or any other avenue dive into YouTube, because you can be a part of the draft yourself. You can dive into the chat, into the comments, and you can help the audience make picks. It works like your typical fantasy football draft. It's a snake style, 1 through 4. The last pick will go back and get 2 in a row. The one caveat here is you do need to stay within a DraftKings salary. So you can't just take all the best players. You do need to make sure that each pick allows you to afford an actual roster. I'll be drafting first tonight because I won last week. The order for today, I'm just going to pick it. We're going to go myself, Spencer, David, and then Sia audience will go fourth. Audience, I always just put you guys last because it takes a little bit more input to get your pick in. So it'll be easier if you guys do 2 in a row. The way the pick is official for anyone new is the audience nominates a player. The second, a second person agrees with that player. That is your pick. With Sia navigating you guys tonight, we will change the rule slightly where Sia can basically take whichever pick he feels is the best out of the nominations given through the chat. Without further ado, I'm on the clock. My pick here is easy. I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler. Now, you know, I don't need to spend long to explain why I'm taking Scottie Scheffler first. I mean, the only thing to really think about when playing Scottie Scheffler is how you build your roster, right? He's going to play well. He's going to win the tournament. If he fell out of the top 10, it would be a huge disaster, right? He's playing an unbelievable golf in what is watered down field. But I think the question that you can think about, he's not a lock play for the reason that if you play Scottie Scheffler, it's really hard to pair him with two other top tier guys. So you got to really build a more balanced kind of roster around him, which I think some people can do. I mean, if he wins a tournament, you need him. But if he doesn't win, there's rosters out there that could probably beat a Scottie Scheffler roster. So it's just about how you want to build. But for me, I'm going to start a 4-man draft off with the best golfer in the world. Go ahead, see it.
I was going to say, it's really interesting. Like, one of the benefits of the DraftCast is when you have a guy that is as chalky as, and rightfully so, right, as Scottie Scheffler is going to be. And I don't know what y'all's numbers are looking like. I'm looking at like 40 to 45%. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's closer to 35 to 40%. Either way, it's just going to be an obscene amount. And by the way, just from a building standpoint, because that 5,000 range has opened up and because the 6,000 range has a lot of guys that I think people want to play, it's super easy to play Scottie. So that's going to lend itself to people playing him even more. So I guess my question before we move on, first of all, it was a comment because, okay, we're doing the DraftCast. Only one person can claim Scottie Scheffler. So we're going to almost like, just by virtue of how this show works, we're going to have three lineups that are like unique just because they don't have Scottie Scheffler. But David, I just wanted to ask you from a game theory standpoint, like, Scottie's kind of like too good right now and he's got good course history and his good course fit and all that. Like, is there a game theory play that you might make if you're making five lineups where maybe you fade Scottie altogether or you fade him in 3 out of 5 lineups, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I commented on a show that you were on earlier today, Sia. Like the fact that Scottie Scheffler's priced at around, you know, $3.75 in betting markets, that still means that the win equity is like 73% for the field. So we do need to bear that in mind. In saying that, for me, I expected Scottie Scheffler to be about 13,800 this week. Mm-hmm. You know, like I do think that he's undervalued when you look at how much further ahead he is from Wyndham Clark, Fagala, Zalatoris, who are all within that range. Like to get people to not take him in their lineup, they had to price him so much higher than they actually had. Like, it could have actually been like a 14,000 kind of salary, and I would not have been surprised, especially given the lack of depth in the field. Once you get past kind of the big four in this tournament, he could be very easily over 40% owned, and probably rightfully so. As you said though, right, it comes down to how does that then build for the rest of your lineup. And I mentioned in the Win Daily Discord that the weather does look like it's potentially changing to a Thursday PM, Friday AM. Scottie Scheffler is in the opposite way to that. So maybe you're doing some weather stacks, right? You're doing full Thursday PM, Friday AM builds, really targeting that weather wave. If that ends up, again, accentuated even further, say Scottie Scheffler finishes like 5th or 6th, then suddenly he's not paying off his price and you've got everybody else who's in that wave who should have a 1 to 2 shot advantage.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Certainly a lot of game theory this week. It's just a matter of whether you're willing to buy into it. All right, Spencer, it's your pick now. Scottie Scheffler is off the board. What's it going to be?
I'm just going to go with the player that's second in my model. That seems to be Scheffler's biggest rival these past couple weeks, even though Scheffler is the one that's getting all the victories. I'm going to take Wyndham Clark. I've kind of noticed that some of the ownership has moved away a little bit from Clark from where we had it on Monday. I agree with Sia. Like, I think Scheffler is going to go off somewhere between, just as a safe guess here, 37 to 45%. I think that's probably the range that we should be expecting. I had Wyndham Clark at 27% at one point yesterday. He's fallen now to 19%, which is going to be lower than Thegala. So I'll take what I think is the second best player in this field at an ownership percentage that isn't the second highest owned, and kind of just hope that if somebody's going to beat Scheffler, it could potentially be Wyndham Clark here. And I do think from a game theory perspective, lineups are very easy to put together with Scotty Scheffler, unfortunately. I think David talked about that very well a second ago. If you could have made Scotty 13,000, but you could have just kept the salaries at 6,000 and up, that would have been a fair price. All of a sudden, when you've moved it down in the 5,000s now, I think you had to make Scotty 14 to 15,000 to really make this a doable thing. So I'm always the person that's trying to find a reason not to play Chuck. I don't know how you don't play Scotty Scheffler this week. And I honestly believe that there's Scheffler plus one of these other big names is probably the route to go, just with how easy it is to build at the bottom.
Yeah, Joel, your thoughts on Wyndham Clark and just about just the roster construction. I mean, are you, obviously you're playing Scotty Scheffler, but it would your typical build be to be like Scotty Scheffler and then one of the top four guys, or you just go down into the 9K range?
Well, I'm actually totally aligned with Spencer and David on this point. You know, there seems to me a top four, maybe five, right? Those are the guys you really want to play. I'll play want to play Scotty and one of the other two. But then after that, you know, maybe we start at the sixth guy or seventh, somewhere down there. It is way closer, even as you go down. So, you know, there's not a huge gap between the high eights and the 6K range. I mean, I just think obviously those guys are better, but it's a way tighter gap than normal. So I'm totally okay with dipping down this week, and there's plenty of value guys on there that you can go get. And to me, that Stars and Scrubs approach is a way more valuable build this week than it normally is.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on. David, I want to see how these rosters end up, right? David, it's your pick. Who you got?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I mean, look, that's the unique aspect of the show, right? Like we mentioned at the top of the show, only one of us can take Scotty Scheffler here, right? So it means that we've all got to get a little bit different and provide some information on guys that we do like further down the board. And I'm a little bit worried that if I don't take this player with my first pick, that Sea audience will steal him away from me. So I'm actually going right down the board to 6,600 and taking Joseph Bramlett. Just because I do love his fit for this golf course, right? Like this really, they've taken the rough down to 1.5 inches here. The fairways are really wide, and it's just going to become a home for power distance kind of players. And that's just Joseph Bramlett to a T. 17th last week at the Valspar Championship while losing putting. Plenty of distance off the tee, and he lost on accuracy last week as well, but that's not going to be an issue here. Really like the fact that he's had a 9th here previously, 10th at the Mexico Open as well, which I think is a really good comp course in terms of long driving distance and the long iron approach that you're really going to need. Tony Finau's obviously got a good record in Mexico as well, just quietly. So really like that he's in the right weather wave. And 6,600, I'm not getting too much ownership as well. I'm getting like 7.5% at the moment. I would have thought that he'd be a bit higher because he profiles perfect.
Yeah, I agree with you on the ownership percentage. I even saw something a little bit lower than that earlier today. I mean, we'll kind of see. Obviously, it makes sense for him to get steamed up. And for the record, Wyndham Clark's ownership percentage, I had it a little higher than what Spencer has. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see on the ownership article that comes out for Win Daily tomorrow from Stephen Pilardi. But yeah, I mean, I like the Joe Bros, and I like Joe Bro here for this particular tournament. So love that. And by the way, I think the audience, and Spencer, can I ask you how Joseph Bramlett actually rates out in your model? Because he does seem to be like a very good course fit. I know you look at longer term history. And so obviously, if you're looking at that, Joseph Bramlett might not look great. I do think he was shaking off an injury last year. So I think that plays a little bit of a part in terms of the history. If we go back 50, 60 rounds, but how does he fit into your model?
He grades wonderfully for me. He's a top 25 player in all three iterations of how I ran it. So that's going to look for safety. That's going to look for upside. That's going to take the overall rank that he put together inside of the top 10 of my model in strokes gained total at hard courses. And then he has the distance that David talked about that I think does make him one of the best values on the board here in the $6,000 range. So I kind of think that Bramlett is one of those core players, and could probably name another four or five of why building a card or a lineup this week is as simple as it is, because you do have names down in the $6,000 range that to me have legitimate top 10, top 20 sort of equity. And I think there might be even a little bit more safety on some of these plays than even we're giving credit for on it. So I think Bramlett's a great option this week.
Yeah. And team audience has locked in one of those players at 6,900. They were quick. Thigala, very popular, by the way. Friend of the show, Sahith Thigala. He is the first pick by a landslide. This must have been the most popular pick in DraftCast history, because like 7 or 8 different people within 10 seconds of each other said Sahith Thigala. And of course, Andrew Novak is the guy I'm talking about. Novak has been so good. He had one tournament where he slipped up over the last 5, but this guy has been completely locked in. I had him as a T30. I think I put that in the Win Daily Discord. It paid off plus 220 last week. This guy at 6,900, like, I mean, I understand why he's 6,900, but he is absolutely dialed in. I'm curious, David, Andrew, or Joel, I want to go to you first on Andrew Novak and Sahith Thigala. Are those two guys that are actually in your player pool?
Yeah, for sure. I love Andrew Novak for all the reasons we've all been talking about. And I think, you know, what's most surprising for me is, as of now, I only see about a 13% ownership number. Now, normally, a guy at 6.9, at 13%, we would consider chalky. But in this scenario where, you know, we know Scheffler is going to be chalked and everyone's trying to play him, and you know you want to cram those studs in, and there's a higher priority in getting some value, I think the 13% I'm totally comfortable with. So the way he's been playing, he's one of my favorite value plays this week. And Thigala as well. I mean, one thing I want to highlight about Thigala is, when we were scared of him last year, he couldn't hit the driver straight. I mean, he was all over the place. He seems to have fixed that. So that driver is going straight. If he has control of that thing, I think Thigala really does elevate himself to one of the upper tier golfers on the tour.
And on top of that, if he doesn't have control of the driver, probably, you know, the rough's not going to be super penal here. Like, it's probably, he's like, this should be a course where he shows up and he's like, I can actually win at this course. I mean, I know Scottie Scheffler's in the field, but I'm sure he's brimming with confidence with this course setup. So Thigala makes a lot of sense. David, it's your pick. I don't know if you have any commentary on Novak or Thigala. I will say this. I mean, warning, like, Scottie Scheffler, Andrew Novak, Scottie Scheffler, Joseph Bramlett.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Those are going to be like, based on how things are being steamed and ownership and all that, like, a lot of lineups might actually start there, believe it or not. And then, you know, you see how much salary you have left, and there's so much you can do. There's probably going to be some lineups with Novak, Scotty, and Bramlett. And then that leaves you plenty of money to do kind of whatever you want. So just keep that in mind. If you're playing in a smaller tournament, maybe that's okay. But if you're playing in a big tournament and you're trying to find a silver bullet, you might want to like lean off some of these chalk guys and go to somebody right next to them that's 2 or 3%. But David, it's your pick. I don't know if, before you give your pick, if you have any comments on Sahith or Andrew Novak.
Yeah, I think Andrew Novak's a fine play. I do have some concern about the ownership, as Joel mentioned. I don't have it quite as high as Joel. I'm getting like 9% at the moment around there for him. But look, I mean, he's hitting the ball great, right? Like the approach play just really ticks all the boxes at the moment, especially over 200 yards. And he's got plenty of driving distance as well, so I really like that. And nothing really to add on Thigala. I think he's completely fine. He really looks like he's found a lot more consistency. I think that's the big thing for Thigala. Last year, like, we all knew that the ceiling was there, but then it was also kind of, it felt with him, he was like boom or bust. It was either like miscut or top 10. And we're just starting to see that consistency really come into his game, which I do really like. I'm going to go and grab some more value because, again, I just know with where Spence and Joel are placed at the moment that they're going to be kind of looking down this range. And particularly Spencer, I know, loves Davis Thompson. And so I can't leave him on the board any further than that. Gets the right weather wave in terms of the afternoon AM tee times. One of the best in the world, over 200 yards for approach. As we mentioned at the top of the show, five of the par fours here are 490 yards or longer. There's kind of this unusual setup with five par threes, and they're all like really short as well. So those par four and par fives are just incredibly long here. His total driving is off the charts. He's both long and accurate, and he really popped on approach last week. He was getting over two strikes per round, and it was just the putter that let him down, which we expect to see some regression. So really like him here. I think he's great value. He's a very talented young player in his sophomore season, and could be a burst out spot from here.
Yeah, I think Davis Thompson is really interesting here. Good bounce back spot for sure. I mean, he waited out really well for me, waited tee to green, weighted approach. Not a ton of distance on the driver, but like good enough to sort of like qualify to be in that sort of medium range. The around the green game didn't scare me off by any means. That looks okay. Was that a steal, Spencer? Is Davis Thompson that somebody was on your radar, potentially one of your next couple of picks?
Sure. I mean, I think that like one of the things that I do every single week when I do my in-tournament articles is I try to find the baseline numbers with the short game and add it into what the actual ball striking returns are, because I think you can kind of try to find either sleepers for the next day in head-to-head matchups. I mean, that's not reinventing the wheel here with what I'm saying, but I do come up with a total of where a player should land on the leaderboard. And Davis Thompson was one of those examples last week where he finished in 108th place, misses the cut. My model thought that after two rounds, he should have been in seventh. So I think that there is positive regression that is coming into the game here for Davis Thompson. Great ball striker, an elite ball striker that if the putter can just be better than what we had it last week, I think this is a nice spot for him. So, I mean, David has kind of taken the exact opposite route here, which is going to make it more complicated 100% with the way that I'm building this lineup, because I've gone up towards the top and he's taken two names now down at the bottom that I would have liked, but I'm going to keep with this approach right now. I will try to figure out how to round this out at the end of this, but I will take Tony Finau 9,900. We've seen Finau turn this putter around recently the last couple weeks. I know that the miscut at the Valspar is going to worry some people because he was just terrible across the board in the tee to green metrics. But this was a golfer that before the putter turned around, he was ball striking it better than anybody in the world. He has positive trajectory in my model when we look at similar courses. When you get this overseeded Bermuda for what my model expects somebody to do with a putter, that's been something that the past handful of weeks has been a very big indicator for somebody that might be ready to pop for a higher result. So I think this is a nice spot here for who is the defending champion in Tony Finau. And I think there's a reason why he won this tournament, and he's going to come here to try to defend the title this year.
So what's interesting and what I'm kind of afraid of, Joel, is that, and by the way, I'm going to leave the show just for a few minutes and I'll be back. But what's interesting to me is that last week I was between Cameron Young and Tony Finau as one of my outrights. So my card, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was JT. Unfortunately, it was Cameron Young. I left Tony Finau off the card, and it was two or three other guys. But so, yeah, the Cameron Young thing, that did not work out for me on Sunday afternoon. But I was really close to pulling the trigger on Tony Finau, and I didn't end up doing it. And now I really don't want to do it because of what I saw last week. And now I'm like, okay, because of that, Tony Finau is probably going to win this tournament. So I don't hate Spencer's argument. I'm not playing Tony Finau personally. He's going to be a fade for me, including in the betting market, where I think I have a play already out on Siwoo Kim over Tony Finau, which I believe is like trading at minus 110 over on DraftKings. But Joel, your thoughts on Tony Finau before we get to your back-to-back picks. And while you're doing that, by the way, I'm going to bounce, but I'll be right back.
Thanks, Dan. You know, Tony's interesting because I think he provides a lot of leverage at the top. There's going to be a lot of the chalk is going to be on Scheffler, and I think Clark and Figal are going to be more popular. So I do think he offers similar win equity, not to Scheffler, but to Clark and Figal. So in terms of leverage in a GPP, and obviously he's done well here before, I think Finau is an interesting sneaky play for tournaments as a way to get different and who does offer the same upside. Now, I don't think he's as safe as some of those other guys. Maybe he does bring a little bit more volatility to that pick. But for a GPP, I think it's a good way to get sneaky. Now, for my pick here, there wasn't a scenario I could have imagined where this draft would have broken this way, and it makes me happy. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to happen. I want Will Zalatoris with my second pick. I didn't think there would be any chance he'd come back to me. So I'm super excited. I actually have him as my second favorite play this week. And I think there's something to being a Texas guy, a Texas tournament. You know, obviously he'd been playing better. He wasn't great at the Players, obviously. That's a much different course, a very challenging course. You know, he still struck the ball well, as he always does. He had some troubles off the tee, what have you. I think he rights the ship this week back in Texas and has a really, really good showing. So I'm going to have to get creative with the rest of this team to make the salaries work. But if there's two guys I want to put in my lineup, it's the two that I got. So I'm super pleased with that start. And then I'll try and start my value plays on the turn, because I'm also going to go with this next pick, Doug Ginn. I'm sticking with my Texas theme, another Texas guy who has been playing great golf this year. Last week, you know, wasn't his best showing. Maybe we'll turn some people off to Ginn, but at E200, the way he's been playing in this field, bring him back to a Texas course where he will probably be more comfortable. I love Doug Ginn this week. With that being said, I'd love to get your take. David, are you on Zalatoris or Ginn at all this week?
Well, now I'm annoyed at myself for my draft strategy, because I figured that if either of you was going to take Will Zalatoris, it would be Spencer. But Joel just sneaking in there with a Scheffler Will Zalatoris start, which I did not see coming, I'll admit, because I was hoping to get Willie Z to kind of round out to the top end of my draft there, and thought he was someone that I could kind of get on the way back there. So a little bit disappointed that I've missed him. And just in regards to Doug Ginn, like it's surprising how much the market reacts and people react to just one tournament, right? Like, I'm getting like 6.5% on Doug Ginn. Like, the week before, like, Doug Ginn was on everybody's lips. He's a Texas guy, went to college here. It's where he feels most comfortable, and he's just been playing awesome golf. And then suddenly, because he has like one off week, everyone's like, oh, well, done with Doug Ginn now. Like, seems the perfect place to deploy him. He seems cheap at 8,200 as well. Like, you know, you compare him to like Billy Ho, who's right next to him. Like, Doug Ginn's been miles better than Billy Horschel lately. So really like the pick there. Don't like the Will Zalatoris pick, but that's because I like him as well.
I love it. I love it. Spence, you're on the clock. Before you go, I'd love your take. Are you playing Willie Z or Doug Ginn at all this week?
Yeah, I think it's a great bounce back spot for Doug Ginn at no ownership. There's a couple other players that are going to fit that narrative. For me, there's five golfers: Scheffler, Zalatoris, Clark, Figala, Finau. I think you kind of mentioned that, Joel. Those are the five players that to me had a very enhanced win equity compared to everybody else. Now, Scheffler is going to be leaps and bounds ahead of the other four, but I think those other four, like, whether or not I like what their prices are actually in the outright market, and I can make an argument whether that maybe they were even a little bit too reduced themselves, I do think those are the next four win equity players. So I love the start that you've put together here with Scheffler, Zalatoris, and Ginn. This to me, and we can rotate names, it doesn't necessarily have to be those three in particular, but to me, that's kind of the optimal build this week. I do think there's enough value down beneath, and unfortunately, you and I are going to be fighting for a lot of those same names, so we'll see what ends up happening there. But Sia mentioned it before he left about he has a bet on Siwoo Kim over Tony Finau. I don't know if I necessarily would go as far as to say that I like one side over the other, but I will say I like both of those two players this week. So I am going to take Siwoo Kim here at 9,700. Part of this is my goal, and I don't even know if it's a player that's in David's pool, but I mean, if we can remove everybody from the top, then all of a sudden David's going to leave thousands of dollars left on the table. And that feels like a nice strategy to potentially take somebody out of this. But Siwoo, you could make an argument that he's maybe marginally overpriced at 9,700, but inside of the top eight of my model this week, the recent form looks great with multiple top 12 finishes in the last few starts. Also, anytime you look at this weighted tee to green performance, he's going to climb up in your model. Fourth for me in this tournament, it just comes down to, can the putter be better than what we get from him sometimes? If the answer is yes, that's how ball strikers win golf tournaments. If the answer is no, that's how miscuts come into play. So I'm going to take Siwoo. I think this is a very nice spot for him to have a big result.
Can I ask something about Doug Gim? Joel, I got to ask you this, we'll get to Siwoo and then we'll get to David's pick in a second. First of all, I like Siwoo Kim, and it's funny that you have both of them on your squad. I know you just addressed that because I mentioned the head-to-head matchup, but are you worried at all? And I wonder, Spencer, maybe there's follow-up from you, because I almost feel like a novice in a sense, like just really overweighting driving distance, but I do kind of feel like that's the way to go. And I think that's the one thing for Doug Gim that I think he lacks relative to some of the other guys I'm choosing. So Joel, my question for you is, are you kind of doing the same thing I'm doing with just kind of like overweighting driving distance? And if so, does Doug Gim concern you? And then Spencer, I kind of want to kick that question to you, because I'm curious in your model, how much you weighed distance.
That's a good question, Sid. That was a thought that I had. My priority for driving distance this week is more, I'm not eliminating people who don't drive it far. I think those guys can still compete. I'm just giving a bonus to the guys that hit it long. So if you're a long hitter, you're a bonus. You're up on my chart a little bit. I'll try and get you in. But I'm not knocking anyone who doesn't hit it far, because I think they can still compete this week, especially if it plays harder, because I think we're more looking for a bogey avoidance, and some of those bombers who tend to be less nimble around the greens can get into trouble. So I'm totally fine with Gim this week.
Spencer?
Some of the changes to the rough, whether it's the shortening or the slight changes that we've made to the grass type there, would have me believe that you might be onto something there, Sia, where distance is a little bit more relevant. But even when I added it into my model, I kind of took this thing where it became more of a total driving meets ball striker sort of performance on it. And anytime that you add any of those like GIR percentages and things of that nature, and then similar courses of how I ran it for, you know, these longer courses that I think you need a specific skill set, Gim graded really well for me in that output. Like, he was top 15 for me in expected total driving. And I think if Gim produces one of those top 15 performances, the ceiling is very high this week. And that's like, I understand that Gim doesn't necessarily always give you that highest of the high end results, but I thought in the outright market, when he opened at 80-1, it was one of the best values on the board because you got an overcorrection to the market. Mm-hmm. And I also think that when you look at specifically here, there's going to be that narrative that comes into play, and you see it with ownership that distance is going to be very prevalent here. I'm not saying it's not going to be, but I also don't think it removes somebody like Doug Gim from the equation.
Right. And truth is, Siwoo Kim, who I just said I liked, and I have him in a matchup, certainly not the longest hitter in the world, and certainly far shorter than Tony Finau. And that's a matchup where I favor Siwoo Kim. So certainly you can kind of go both ways there. All right, David, you got Joseph Bramlett, Davis Thompson. You're starting out on the low end. Does that mean you're going high now?
Well, while you're away on whatever bathroom break you're on, we'll guess that that's what's happened five shows in a row, and not going to hold that against you whatsoever. We spoke about the fact that Joel stole Will Zalatoris for me, who, with the way that Joel and Spencer built out their lineups, I expected to come back here. So as the audience have correctly pointed out, that does mean that the jinx is now on Joel for having stolen my pick, and Will Zalatoris guaranteed to miss the cut, because that's just what happens. So like as well that Spencer's shouting out that he's going to try and take everyone at the top so that I have to leave thousands on the table. I'm glad I'm such a threat to all of you guys that that's what you feel that you have to do. I wouldn't have had Siwoo Kim, but I do actually like this as a spot for Keith Mitchell. Here's the thing, right? I just mentioned with Doug Gim, we all overreact to just what happens in one tournament. For Keith Mitchell, it was like what happened on one round of golf. Like, it's a really volatile, difficult golf course. He threw it away on Sunday, whatever. He still finished 17th. But Keith Mitchell has been an absolutely fire form of late, especially with the approach numbers are just kind of off the charts. He's got really good comp history. In terms of off the tee, he's only lost off the tee twice since May 2022. Heaps of driving distance, and he's pretty accurate with it as well. The long iron approach metrics really rate out very well for me. He's had a ninth here previously, 19th at the Mexico Open, which I think is a good comp. And I do think this is going to play a bit like Quail Hollow, like one of those traditional, really long golf courses, lots of long par fours. He's finished third and eighth there as well. So I really actually like the spot here for Keith Mitchell. And if you're going to get some depressed ownership because the entire general public is going to be like, oh, Keith Mitchell had a really bad finish at Valspar, he still finished 17th. You know, he was great all tournament other than Sunday. So if that means that his ownership ends up getting really low as a result, then count me in and happy to take him here.
As we look at nominations from the audience, looks like one guy has been nominated. We need a second. But my question for you, David, is the short game. Specifically around the green. I mean, are you de-emphasizing it because you're picking Keith Mitchell, or are you just thinking, well, there's a lot of variance with short game in general and around the green play, which I actually agree with. I'm not saying you're saying that, but that could be a thought you have. But I do think Keith Mitchell could find a little bit of disaster with the short game. Do you agree?
I think where I point to is the fact that the greens here are 7,000 square feet on average. Like, they're huge. They're really big green complexes. And he's striking the ball so well that if he is missing a bunch of greens, like, there's bigger issues for me. So I'd rather hone on the fact that his off the tee is just very, very good. And I think that's going to be kind of the key determinant of success at this course. And then the long iron approach play as well. And look, if he's missing greens and having to rely on the short game, then his chances are kind of stuffed anyway.
Okay, I feel like exercising my veto power. Do I still have that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's take a poll. I'm going to take a poll of me and you three. Okay, first of all, Jason Day is in. Sorry, Spencer, I know Jason Day is not your guy anymore. You've fallen in love with Wyndham Clark, but you got to be a little jealous. We'll get to that in a second. I do not like Mackenzie Hughes. I straight up do not like him, but I'm not trying to convince you for. But I'm just curious before I decide to potentially exercise a veto and get another nomination here. This is the only veto I'm going to exercise if I even exercise it. I need to take a poll right now on how you three feel. And I don't want you to be – I don't want any subversion here. I want people to actually know how you feel about Mackenzie Hughes. Don't worry. We'll probably pick somebody else terrible if we veto him. David Bielski. What do we think about Mack Hughes?
Can I clarify, do you not like Mackenzie Hughes as a person or as a golfer? Because that wasn't very clear.
Fair question. As a golfer, it might also be as a person, but I don't have the facts. I don't have the data to support that, but I do have the data to support that I don't like him as a golfer. David, go.
Yeah, I think that the selection here from the audience just comes based on the course history more than anything else. The fact is that he's neither long nor straight off the tee. So that's a huge worry at a course that I think is going to be really...
Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Big on off the tee and how what you do with the driver. And the course has changed a bit over the previous years, other than moving from fall to beginning of the year. The fact that the roughs come down, it's just getting longer as well. So, yeah, it's a nay for me, especially at 13% ownership.
I mean, the guy gained 10 strokes putting last week for his T3. I mean, he does it all with short game. By the way, that could work here. Okay, like, fair enough. That could work here. Joel, what's your answer on Mack Hughes?
Generally, Sia, I'm with you. He's like one of those guys that even when it makes sense to play him, I just like, I don't like me. He just seems like he's like a 6,100 golfer that is like never makes my roster ever. So he's playing well. I can understand why the audience likes him, but he won't be in my play.
Spencer?
I think ownership aside, if we remove ownership from the equation for a second, I'm probably indifferent one way or another. I think when all of a sudden you start throwing this into a 12 to 15% ownership percentage, and really the reason from that is stemming because of the course history that we have, I will be out because of that reason. But I'm not necessarily as low as everybody else is on him. I just think he's too owned for what we're getting.
I mean, the course history is impressive. I'm not going to lie to everybody. I feel like I'm with Andrew here. It's the only time I'm going to do it. I'm not on this show often. I don't mean to upset people. I am vetoing Matt Hughes, even though I got to admit, I'm very impressed with his history. It looks like Taylor Moore would have been the backup. I mean, do we re-nominate Taylor Moore? Moshi said Taylor Moore. Andrew Becta said Taylor Moore. Japan says Taylor Moore. I don't even like Taylor Moore, but I like him better than Matt Hughes. You guys are going to pin that, and it's going to be when Taylor Moore misses the cut and Matt Hughes finishes T6, this is going to be bad. I don't like Taylor Moore, but I like him better than Mackenzie Hughes. That's our pick. Let's go. Sorry, everybody. There we have it. 7,500 Taylor Moore. I don't even know what his ownership is, by the way. Does anybody?
About a little bit less than 11% in my model.
Still a little popular. All right. Should I not have done that? You guys are the veterans of this show at this point. Should I have not exercised that veto power? David, go.
I love it. It's great television, Sia. It's great content. I'm all for that. And yeah, look, the audience is just going to come for you if Mackenzie Hughes ends up winning and Taylor Moore misses the cut. That's the only thing I risk is, you know, if that happens on Sunday, we might have to look at some late security detail for Sia moving forward just to keep him safe.
Spencer, you had something.
I was just going to say, I think the problem is, like, I don't hate the veto that was used. I'm just afraid that the audience may have either moved laterally with this decision or even made it potentially worse from where we were before. Like, I'd probably rather have Mackenzie Hughes if I was trying to decide between the two and those were the only two options that I had. So I don't know if we necessarily made it better.
So, okay, we got to move this show along. There's a guy I really like that we could have taken. I can't just insert it. It's too late, right? We're stuck with Taylor Moore, right? I'm just saying, if I was
you could go full villain, you could go full villain and just make your own pick here.
Kurt Kitayama, that's our pick. 8,100, go. It's not Taylor Moore, it's Kurt Kitayama. We have a Hughes gate, we have a Taylor Moore gate. It rivals Hideki gate. I don't think Taylor Moore is a good pick either. Give me Kurt Kitayama, 8,100. Listen, the audience is going to pick the other five guys. They picked the first three. They're going to pick the next two. I'm picking Kurt Kitayama. I hate Taylor Moore. I hate Matt Hughes. Not as people, as golfers for this particular tournament. Let's move along.
Sia, you need to own that. Don't feel bad about it. Don't question it. It's Sia audience for a reason. You're the captain of the team. It's your pick. Stand on it. You better produce. But that's your pick. I like it.
Oh, so much pressure. That's my pick. My one exercise of veto power. We do this maybe once every 6-7 weeks. I exercise it. I put somebody in there, nominated, ratified myself. I get to do that apparently. David, it's your pick.
Oh my God. Zach, man, go back to football shows.
It's fair. It's totally fair.
Wow. What a moment in PGA DraftKings history we've just witnessed. It's for the record, C I audience. Really.
It's team C I, audience. I got to have some in.
The audience. But I really liked Taylor Moore there, actually. And I actually think that he's do a decent week. His approach metrics lately look really, really good. So certainly I do like Kitayama as well. I probably preferred Taylor Moore. Certainly prefer both of them to Mackenzie Hughes. So that was outrageous, and I love it. I'm kind of here for it. I'm going to go a little outside the box here, take a guy who for me fits out really well for this course, but is only at 5% ownership, the lowest ownership in the 8K range, and that's Patrick Rogers. Plenty of driving distance, really good on the long iron approach. Look, he's coming off two missed cuts, which is why you're getting the depressed ownership. But in terms of like comp courses, he kind of rates out perfectly. Obviously, he's had a 16th here previously at the Mexico Open for Danta. He's finished 6th, 10th, and 10th. He's got good finishes as well at Quail Hollow, where he finished second on debut. So I really like him in this spot here. I think it's a good course fit. I'm just loving the depressed ownership that you're getting in the 8K range as well. And with a lot of those Tiefler builds. I do think that the 8K kind of get missed a lot because the people are going to go up, pay 13,000 for Tiefler, maybe do something outrageous like Joel and get Will Zalatoris as well. And then they just cannot get to the 8K range whatsoever. They've got to go down to the 7-6s, maybe even the 5. So I think that Rogers here, really good course fit. We're going to see a bit of a turn in form, but it does suggest that he's a pretty good course fit based on his comps. And for the record, the two missed cuts he's missed on the number as well.
I love Rogers, especially when we're talking the ownership argument too. Joel, are you in or out on Patrick Rogers?
I understand the play, and you know, for the reason you said, I could get behind it, but the way I'm building laps, you can't. Like, if I'm playing Scheffler and Zalatoris or pairing him with one of those other studs, it's just really hard to get to that point. So he's not going to make my player pool, but I can understand how you can get there for sure.
Yeah, and again, this is why the show is so unique, because we can now not only make lineups, but at least talk about and address lineups that are not going to have like the Scotty Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, the Scotty Scheffler, like Thigala, because a lot of people are going to want to do that. Really smart observation from David, like knowing that a lot of people are going to do that, knowing you're going to take a chalky Scotty Scheffler, how can you make your roster construction different? It's by going into not just a low-owned Patrick Rogers, but making your construction in a range where people just aren't going to be able to go because what they're doing with two players at the top. All right, Spencer, enough talking from me. It's your pick.
I'm going to go with a highly volatile pick here. This is somebody that had the largest range of outcomes of any single golfer in the sheet. He had three categories out of the six that I ran where he graded inside the top 12. The other three, he was inside or the bottom one third of what I was looking for. But I'm going to go with Nate Lashley for the boom potential that he has. I understand that there's some bust that comes into the play there, but I think 6,000 for him is a really intriguing price for a golfer that does have a ceiling that can top 10 this tournament.
Nate Lashley, very interesting. David, I go to you before we go to Joel's back-to-back picks. Nate Lashley did sort of cross my eyes when I was doing my initial research, and I found a reason. It might not have been a good one to get away from him. Was he a guy that was on your radar at all for this tournament?
The concern for me, and I'm not going to say that you shouldn't play anyone who doesn't have driving distance, because how often do we see a case where it's like, oh, this is a bomber's course, but then like some random golfer who drives it short ends up popping up in the top 10 because they just have an outrageous putting week or an amazing approach or some other aspect of their game. So I get that. I'm not sure I'd be going like Siwoo Kim paired with Nate Lashley. Like, I'm kind of like a one, maybe maximum two in that kind of range if I am looking to get a little bit different away from like the suitable profile. So that would be my concern. It's just the driving actually is not there. Obviously, he crushed on approach at the Players' Championship, gaining over 8 strokes on approach when finishing 13th there. So that's a real positive. I'd also add that he's won the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. So obviously, there's some correlation there with Tony Finau linking those two quite nicely.
Very nice. All right, Joel. Scotty Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, Doug Gim. This is an all-star cast right now. How are you going to ruin it?
I will say I am very pleased with how my draft has started. Obviously, now I got to get some value. So there's two guys here that I have been targeting for value, which they're going to fall to, which I'm pleased on. And it's going to be one. The first one, which is a great story, is Bud Cauley. If for those of you who might not be familiar with Bud Cauley, he wasn't a star coming up. He was, you know, all amateur, was supposed to be one of the next big guys. He had got into a car accident a few years ago, had horrible rib injury surgery, hasn't really played golf for 3 years. He's come back recently over the last couple of weeks, and he's been playing really well. He's only played in 3 tournaments on the PGA Tour, but he played a few Korn Ferry Tour tournaments as well. On the Korn Ferry Tour, he has 2 top 40s, which, you know, he's competing. He was 65th at the Waste Management. He was T21 at the Cognizant. And then at the Valspar, he didn't make the cut, but he didn't play poorly. He shot a 70 in round one, a 73 round two. The ball striking has been really good. And that's obviously what's really attractive about him is this guy has a great pedigree and history, but he's striking the ball really well. And I think it's a matter of time before he puts together a really good round and the results start coming. So it's a shot I'm taking at 6,200, but I do think he has some upside. And the weird thing is I'm actually seeing him carry a bit of ownership. So maybe some people are seeing that too. And you know, for the 6K range, I see him around 9 or 10%, which is a bit high there. For my second pick, I'm going to go ahead and take Dylan Wu, another 6,100 who is in good form. He was T26 at the Valspar. He gave us a T19 at the Players. His ball striking numbers have been really good. He's been one of the main reasons I like him, he's been really good around the green. He's been gaining strokes around the green since January in every tournament he's played in. He's going to have to find his driver. His driver's been wild. That's the concern. But if he finds a way to straighten that driver out this week, I think you can easily get a really good result at 6,100 from Dylan Wu.
Yeah, interesting. Dylan Wu, another one of those kind of a little bit of a shorter hitter. So we'll see how – like, I'm really – like, listen, the truth is we don't have much of a sample size for Memorial Park, and we obviously don't have the sample size of this thing being in March. So let's see what happens with that. Let me ask you, on Bud Cauley or Dylan Wu, I mean, these guys are far down the board. I don't expect them to be top 30 or 40 in your model, but Bud Cauley's certainly coming on. Do any of these guys make you think, all right, this is somebody you're going to play in your pool?
I'll give you an interesting answer here, Sia. And there's limited data that I have for Bud Cauley, so I want to preface it with that. But Cauley and Dylan Wu both graded inside the top 40 of my model this week.
Wow.
I think that they're intriguing values for sure.
Wow, that is interesting. Okay, fair enough. I was like, yeah, you're probably not going to have it in the top 40. It turns out it's in the top 40. All right. Spencer, we go Wyndham Clark. We go Tony Finau, Siwoo Kim, Nate Lashley. You've got two more picks, but you got to make one of them right now.
I am a man of the people, Sia. I don't know how much money this is going to leave me. Just know that I stand with the audience here. Sia stole your guys' pick. You're never going to end up getting the pick after Sia has stolen it. Not necessarily playing Mackenzie Hughes, but I will play Mackenzie Hughes. I think that leaves me enough money still that I can build a lineup, but Mackenzie Hughes, I am standing in solidarity here with the audience.
Wow. This you're trying to, this is like a complete takedown move. It's very smart. I respect it. I don't respect the pick. I think it's a terrible pick, but there's a very good chance that I'm wrong, because when you get like that confident and arrogant about a pick and you veto the audience's pick, usually that doesn't turn out well. So, all right, Mackenzie Hughes, we already talked about him, so we don't need to go over why you picked Mackenzie Hughes. So as the chat, Zach Jeffers is just not happy at all. Neither is Japan. So this is now Team Spencer, says Silent Assassin. All right, I'm going to stay silent. David, you got a pick after Patrick Rogers. Who you got?
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, what a show. What a show already. There's just so much drama. It's fantastic. The audience are just going off. Obviously, Spencer with the big suck-up move to the audience there, wanting to get them on side for future drafts. Huge tactical move, which I really appreciate. I appreciate the strategic nature that Spencer's just taken there. Not just thinking about this draft, but like all future PGA draft casts whenever the audience are coming back as well. So really like that there. Look, I'm going to go... I've talked about a couple of the guys that I've taken, and then Doug Gim as well, of we're going off guys just because of one tournament that they've played. And another in that kind of rank is Tom Hoagie. Like, Tom Hoagie's been one of the best ball strikers in the world over the last few months. Like, he is hitting the ball at such a clip that outside of Scottie Scheffler, he's the second best in this field on approach over the last 6 months, and like by quite some margin. So over the last 6 months in this field, Scottie Scheffler is gaining on average 1.5 strokes per round on approach. Tom Hoagie's gaining 1.4. The next closest is Tony Finau at 0.9. So the margin of that gap and approach is massive in terms of the drop-off. Yes, he didn't play well at the Valspar, but he still gained a ton on approach. That all came with the driver because he was a little bit inaccurate with it. That's not going to be an issue here. He's just off the charts in terms of the approach metrics. And if the general public's going to be off him because of one bad tournament, I'm happy to jump on him here and get a bit contrarian with this build.
Sorry, I was lost in your analysis by, like, I'm now picturing myself looking at the leaderboard on Thursday, like on like an app on my phone, and like I'm just going to be zeroing in on specifically Mackenzie Hughes, Taylor Moore, and Kurt Kitayama as if I have them in a three ball. All right, Tom Hoagie. Joel, any thoughts on Tom Hoagie? I mean, listen, we know this guy is electric on approach. We know the ball striking generally there. What are your thoughts on Tom Hoagie here?
I think David said it right. I mean, his approach metrics as of recent have been off the charts. And in what is reality, a bit of a water downfield, because that's the reality of the tour right now. Tom Hoagie in 2022 in the full field is not the same golfer as Tom Hoagie in 2024, where you take away 10 of the best golfers. I think the pricing is right. I think there is a lot of upside with the way he's hitting the ball.
All right. Tom Hoagie. Let me ask you, Spencer, as we wait for nominations, Tom Hoagie, where do you rate out in your model?
16th overall, he is the number one projected approach player from the weights that we get this week, which is not necessarily a shock. Hoagie is a pristine iron player, but 16th overall for me.
All right, we got Akshay Bhatia in there. So let's see how much money we have left when we put in Bhatia. That's been locked as Zach Jeffers puts in the chat. So what do we have left? 7,700. So for Team Spencer audience, their last player, it is going to be a 7,700 player or below. So that's where we got to look, and we'll take nominations there. Oh boy, there's a guy that's right in that range that I just threw off our team. So there's that. I cannot exercise veto power anymore. So if you guys want to throw him on, but there's plenty of guys to choose from. We certainly don't have to, we can leave money on the table, obviously. So need a couple more nominations, or I'll just throw some guy in there. And if you let me do it, it's not going to be Taylor Moore. I can promise.
I'm trying so hard to get into the chat right now to type Taylor Moore in.
Maddie Schmidt from Zach Jeffers. Maddie Schmidt is not on my radar at all. That's interesting. Taylor Moore from David Bieleski. Oh, okay. Very interesting pick, David. Joel Dahman. I certainly like that pick. Chalky, but I don't mind it. Given the makeup of our team, we've got a couple chalky guys, but you know, a couple non-chalky guys. Don't have many. We don't have either of the top two players. I think Damon is the play. Japan Silent Assassin, Edward Gale agree. Let's go there. We leave a few bucks on the table. I like this lineup. Akshay wasn't on my card here. David, let me go to you. Let's just hear before we get to your pick whether you like Akshay and whether you're playing Damon this week.
I really like the Akshay play. It's kind of like the way that Thigala was. Like, we just know that he's got masses of upside and huge amount of miscut equity at the same time. And so when you're in those large GPPs, there's the kind of dart where he could very easily win or finish top five. He could very easily miss the cut, but when you're in those big contests, he's the kind of person who down in that kind of range you can put in there. And if he has a great finish, then suddenly you've got a huge amount of leverage on the rest of the public. I think it's a really good fit for him. Where he did achieve his win was another golf course where driving distance and off the tee really mattered quite a bit. And his putt is very, very good as well. I like the Dahman as well. It's like this really strange situation with Joel Dahman because he's got an awesome course history there, but on paper, it doesn't necessarily suit his game in terms of particularly the driving distance, but his history here speaks for itself, and he's been hitting the ball at an amazing clip in recent history as well. So my concern comes 12% ownership. Everyone spotted the course history and kind of jumping on Dahman there. That would be my concern, because generally someone in the low 7K who's around that 11 to 12% ownership is someone that I'm going to be trying to pivot from.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, David, you got one more pick. Who's it going to be?
Well, I was very tempted here to do as Spencer kind of enticed me to and leave thousands on the table and take Matty Schmidt. Very tempted to do that. He gets the right weather wave. I think it's a really good course for him. He's got tons of driving distance. He's playing really well. He was a stud on the DP World Tour. Very tempted to just leave $3,000. Wow. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Alex Noren because Joel's ecstatic because he's obviously going to take Matty Schmidt. Can I change my pick?
I'm about to give a whole speech about Matty Schmidt and how Zach Jeffers mentioned him and how Sia poo-pooed him and how Spence can't afford him and it was going to fall on my lap. And then I was like, there's no way David's considering with all that money. Then he mentioned, I was like, there's no way.
The way that this draft cast is gone, there's only one thing left to do. Cancel my pick. I'm taking Manny Schmidt. I'm leaving $3,000. No,
that's unbelievable.
Wait, so what?
Manny Schmidt, last three tournaments, 10th in Puerto Rico, 26th at the Players, 17th at the Valspar. Tons of driving distance. Really like the metrics on approach. I think he's fantastic value, and he's extremely low-owned. So I think he's a really, really sneaky play that you can get out there. The guy's got top 10 equity in this type of field.
Wait, is that like, I mean, that was kind of like you had already made your pick. I mean, are you really taking Matty Schmidt? Is that a play?
Yes, absolutely.
Worked like a charm. I never was.
Joel's face said it all. Joel's face said it all. And I knew immediately that I'd erred in my judgment taking Alex Noren, and Matty Schmidt had to be the play. So that's where we're at.
I can't believe that just happened. All right. So Matty Schmidt is the play. I think we've talked about him a decent amount. I think, Spencer, we can go to your pick. Joel, you'll have to pivot here. Pretty crazy. Spencer, you got one last pick. Penny Hardaway for your thoughts.
I don't really have any money left now after this Mackenzie Hughes pick, which has made this more complicated. Like, I wanted Max Grazerman. That's kind of where I wanted to land with this selection. And unfortunately, now I cannot afford him. But for me, it came down to one of two options. And I think it's very close. Jacob Bridgman, Brandon Wu. I worry a little bit about what we got from Bridgman last week. Like, I bet him at 300-1 in full disclosure. And I'm not going to necessarily take one round of golf on Thursday and overly weigh that in my model. But I think in the same sentiment of that answer, I also have limited data on him to begin with. So I will go with what my model had a little bit more upside with when I ran it. And I'll go with Brandon Wu at 5,600. He's played well historically on these long par 70s inside of my sheet, inside of the top 35 for weighted scoring. It's not necessarily a perfect profile, but I think when you get down into this $5,000 section, you're trying to find something that you can hold on to for why you believe there's a reason they can work up the board. And Brandon Wu has more of that, those answers than a lot of these players would.
Very interesting. All right. Brandon Wu is the pick for Spencer. That rounds out his team in the low five or the mid 5K zone. Joel, I mean, you don't have much money left. You were going to take Matty Schmidt, apparently. You can't do that anymore. What you got?
I was going to take Manny Schmidt. I thought Spencer was going to take Parker Cootie.
I like that pick, by the way.
Yeah. I was going to be stuck. And I was between Manny Schmidt and Parker Cootie. I was assuming Spencer was going to take Cootie and I was going to be stuck with Schmidt. It didn't work out that way. You know, then when Spencer started talking, I was like, who's this Geiserman guy? That list seems interesting. So maybe, but no, I'm going to stick with my original pick. And I think part of my theme here is I got a lot of Texas guys, and it's right around the corner. This is a home course for these guys, you know, between Gim and now Cootie. You know, Zalatoris from Texas, Scheffler. Maybe that will pay off for me, but especially if I'm going to, you know, deep diving for a 5,700 golfer with some upside, I think having a guy from the area might help.
Yeah, I Parker Cootie rated out pretty well for me. I don't have a problem with that. Spencer, let me ask you, Parker Cootie, did he register on the radar?
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think that, like, at some point you have to wonder what he actually needs to do to get this price tag increased. Mm-hmm. 5,700 does feel a little bit on the low end of where this should be. I don't know if he should necessarily be a golfer that's approaching the 7,000s, but I could see him being 6,700, $1,000 more expensive, and I wouldn't have batted an eye at that.
Fair enough. All right. Joel, I think that rounds it out, right?
That's a wrap. What a draft we had tonight. This one goes in the books. Sia, it was a pleasure having you back, but we're not done yet tonight. Do us a favor. Hit the like button. Give us a follow. It goes a long way. As we pull the draft board down, we're going to leave you with some first round leaders. Don't forget, we will be posting some updates in Discord. If you're not already, sign up for WinDaily. You'll get updates from the Weather Edge as the weather updates come out. You'll get this ownership article from Stephen Pilardi, which is one of the best ownership articles in the business. Make sure you know what the ownership looks like. I think that's going to be especially important this week, as we know a lot of people are going to be gravitating towards the top. So you want to be able to find ways to get different everywhere else. However, let's have some fun in the first round leader market coming up on Thursday. David, we'll start with you. Who are you looking at in the first round leader market?
I mean, firstly, what a draft cast. It's been one for the ages. Hilarious on all fronts. Part of it, obviously, to do with the return of Senajad and just throwing his weight around immediately and just vetoing picks left, right, and center for the audience. Just really kicked everything off. So fantastic show as always. Just want to throw out there that there's a fantastic lander page that the team over in the Philippines and India, or wherever we outsource our website building capabilities to, at Windows Sports down there. It just tells you everything that you're going to get with our exclusive promo that we've got for the Masters, getting 50% off at the moment, and tells you exactly where we've been winning, everything that's included. So go check it out. It's pretty cool. The guys have been doing a ton of work, and it looks pretty sick at the moment. So for me, first round leaders, Keith Mitchell, 50-1. I think that he has the ability to go out and pop for one round. We saw that last week as well. He's got to throw off the dust from that Sunday finish and come out fighting. 50-1 is a really nice number compared to his win odds as well. He's about 30-1 in win markets, so getting 50-1 on first round leader. 70-1, Doug Gim. I think that, again, he can go out in the morning, pop in a place he's really comfortable in, Texas. I really like Akshay Bhatia at 70-1. And honorable mention, just given I stole him from Joel right at the end there, 90-1, Matty Schmidt, going to be the first round leader just to rub the salt onto the wound.
That would make for some great draft cast drama. I love it. Spence, how about you? Who are you looking at in the first round leader market?
I'm going to follow David on Doug Gim at 70-1, Steven Yeager 55-1. And to be honest with you, I don't know if he's in the morning wave. I don't know if he's in the afternoon wave. I don't know where he is right now. I assume he's at the tournament, but Mackenzie Hughes, 65-1. I will go full on this pick here.
Going full heel. I love it. I love it. All right. I got three picks for you this week. I like, as always, I couldn't go a show without mentioning Sam Ryder at 90-1 as a first round leader. A fun one. Guy I drafted 110-1. Welcome back, Bud Cauley. I hope he has a great start. I think it would be a great story. Yeah. A fun narrative to follow. But my favorite first round leader play, I think the number's just a little bit too big for Will Zalatoris at 35-1. All right, Sia, welcome back. Who are you looking at for first round leader?
Yeah, I haven't really had my first round leader mojo this year. I mean, I've had some really close ones, but I haven't had it. And I think it's because I haven't been on the draft cast as much. So this is the time. We reset the table, if you will. I like your pick, Joel, Will Zalatoris. By the way, side note, a little jealous of the Doug Gim and Akshay Bhatia pick. I endorse those. They're not on my card. I'm just kind of throwing that out there, especially Bhatia. It does seem like a showdown first-round leader play as opposed to maybe a full tournament play. But Will Zalatoris at 35-1, Steven Yeager. So we've got that in common, too, at 55-1. Luke List at 70-1. Andrew Novak at 80-1. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in the easy button play, it just couldn't be easier, right? Because why not take a guy? I mean, first round leaders, we know outrights and first round leaders are this easy. All you have to do is see like who's super hot with the ball striking, who's long odds, and boom, you've got your first round leader. So the absolute super lock first round leader. I mean, it's so obvious. I shouldn't even have to say it. It's almost like insulting to your intelligence that I'm even saying this number, but it's 70-1. And the guy who's going to be your first round leader on Thursday early evening at Memorial Park 2024, it's Joel Dahmen. Joel Dahmen, that's your guy. Let's go.
Well, I tell you what, if you're picking for first name base, I see a lot of Joels winning this week, whether it's the draft cast or from leader, for sure aligned on that stance. But man, what's tonight? Fun pleasure. Was this Sia? It was a pleasure having you back. Really fun drafting with you. You know, you're not on every week. We know you're super busy. We love having you back on. But give everyone who have been some of our new fans, some folks maybe haven't seen you well, what are you up to new recently? Where can we catch you on some of your other shows?
Yeah, well, first of all, especially from a golf standpoint, I will be in the Win Daily Discord. I'm not as active, admittedly, as like guys like David Bieleski. But, I mean, if you're part of Win Daily, I mean, I don't know how to say this. David is so sharp. He's so active. He's giving you every single edge possible. So really big time credit to him. So I dive in there, no pun intended, here and there. I'm usually in there Wednesdays, giving out my picks, some of my picks, some round leaders and or round matchups and stuff like that. Otherwise, you know, I'm on the early edge. I've got a show at 10 in the morning. I do that every morning. And then, of course, I've got the TV show in the DC area that I do. It's kind of a regional show. So unless you're in the Maryland, DC, Virginia area, you're not going to be able to watch it. But it's called By the Book on Mind ML Sports Network. And then SiriusXM, Joel, just like you, every other Friday I'm on with Jason Mizrahi. We cover whatever sport's going on. It's a really fun show. 2 hours. Joel, you're on that show too. So yeah, a lot going on.
Well, see, you're a busy man. You're super entertaining. If you watch this show, you know that already. That is not news for you. If you don't watch the show and you're new, go check Sia out. He is great at what he does, and you will definitely find some winners. Speaking of winners, we're going to have one this week. We'll be posting lineups on Twitter. Give us a follow. Let us know who you think is going to win so we can crown a champion next week and do it again. See ya. Did I forget anything today?
You forgot to crown who's going to be the ultimate champion. It's going to be a playoff between Mackenzie Hughes and Taylor Moore, and I'm going to be crying all the way away from the pay window. But the one other thing, of course, that everybody forgot was how do I say this? Sports.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.